Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here as always with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. Caitlin, what's going on?
Madness. It's just crazy out there, Tim. It's just the mainstream media is not acting right. I think it needs a Bex and a lie down. We need to take its temperature and ask if what it's been eating lately, whether or not it's been near any Novichok or something. Because it's not well.
Mainstream media is acting just totally off kilter, huh?
Yeah, I haven't seen it like this since like in the middle of the primaries, the 2016 primaries, the Democratic primaries. The mainstream media was acting very strangely. It didn't know how to deal with Bernie Sanders. It was trying to black him out, and then they ran 16 hit pieces in 16 hours on the Washington Post on him. Very, very similar. This kind of panicked, we're going to stomp this out. This is getting out of control.
Instead of attacking a presidential candidate, they're attacking, like, Twitter users.
Yes. This is just...
Bloggers.
Bloggers across the board. Like, yeah, they had one focus then. Now they have, like, many, many... It's just all about indie journalists, and especially the ones talking out about Syria.
So all these indie journalists that they ignored during the Sanders campaign, ignored during the Jill Stein campaign, ignored during all the Russiagate nonsense, ignored during all the interesting controversies that have been happening with WikiLeaks and Assange, ignored all that. Now, all of a sudden, they're taking an acute interest in all these people with fairly small platforms who are speaking unauthorized opinions.
Yeah, just saying wrong speak. And they must be stopped. There's wrong think going on, and it must be outlawed. It's really, really strange. There was 7 smear pieces, mainstream media smear pieces, down punching to alternative media in one day just recently. So,
wow.
And these are like, it's real down punching. It's not like, you know, they took on Jimmy Dore, but they're also just taking on regular Twitter users.
Even taking on Jimmy Dore, like CNN taking on Jimmy Dore, that's major down punching. He's a comedian with a YouTube channel.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, like, the
Ian
Guardian
guy. going for a Twitter. A few Twitter accounts, and then just throwing these everyday people's lives into turmoil, and then saying the author of that, the writer of that, the journalist of that said, well, that was what the government said. like that was her whole, that was her mea culpa for that.
No retraction for that, by the way.
None?
No retraction, no apology. For the journalist who wrote that, the Guardian still has up an article saying that Ian Schilling and Partisan Girl are bots.
Right.
And they are not. That is a demonstrable...
They are clearly not.
They are not. They've done interviews on Sky News. They've done video presentations. Partisan Girl is... I forget her name, but she's a very established presence.
She's been on Australian TV several times. Like,
yeah.
And she's... Yeah. I mean, like, she's very much a person.
All right. So let's rewind a little bit. What is it that has these people so hopping mad?
Well... They're really upset about how people are questioning the Syria narrative. They do not like it. They want everyone just to shut up and believe that Bashar is a gas-killing baby eater and we all need to bomb the crap out of him. That's, as long as we're just thinking that, then they'll go nowhere near you. Like, if that's what you want to say, then fine. But if you say anything different, then you're on their list. So, except for me, I'm not on their list. I'm still waiting for mine.
I want my hit piece.
I did actually have, like, one person from Sky News Australia approach me about doing an interview. And, you know, they always, like, couch it in this kind of, like, hey, we're really interested in your take on this. And, you know, this is not nefarious at all. You're, like, we're just buddy-buddy here. So I got one of those a few days ago, and I'm still waiting. I keep checking the email every 5 minutes because I gave him my email address. I gave him my phone number and stuff. It's like, yeah, I'm ready to rock. Ready any moment now, I will be on Sky News Australia. And it's not happening, Tim.
Never came. That's interesting, though, that Sky News Australia tried to was thinking about getting you on, because it looks like the UK people go after the UK dissidents. The Americans go after the American media go after the American dissidents. Maybe they were like, yeah, the you Australian guys, you got to take care of that lady.
Yeah, but they won't go near me.
They backed down.
I was real nice to you, not like that first time. Remember the Guardian guy who came up to me and he was like, hey, you know, Roger Waters, you know, how about that book?
Yeah, and you were, you said something like, sure, I'd be happy to help you write a smear piece about me.
Yeah.
And he just scuttled off with his tail between his legs.
That was that.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, damn, that was my opportunity.
Missed opportunity.
See, but that's the thing, right? Because people like me know, like everyone knows, that if you damn punch that badly, then that's only going to get me attention. That's only going to get me noticed. No publicity is bad publicity, basically. The whole Streisand effect, you know, you... So I do welcome anyone of the blue checks to come and do a smear piece on me, and apparently that they know that. I have not been sneaky enough.
Yeah, but that Streisand effect is totally real. Like, we've seen Vanessa Beale's follower count skyrocket, shoot way up.
Right, and there was another one, Citizen Halo, I think her name is. She's a Finnish activist. She's pretty cool. She said that she's got 16, because she was in another smear piece. There's just been, you know.
Oh, I didn't even know about that one. Wow, there's just too many to keep track of.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I just found out about that one today. That was actually in the Moon of Alabama thing, but I think he must have written that in later, because I didn't read that bit the first time I was reading this.
Oh.
I'm not sure. Anyway, so she got 1,600 followers straight up just from the smear piece. It does not work. So the Streisand effect, for those who don't know, Barbara Streisand, you know, notoriously litigious, found a photo of her house on the internet. It had 4 views when she found it. But she got straight onto her lawyers and demanded that it be taken down. Word got out that that's what she wanted to do, and suddenly it had hundreds of thousands of views. Like, everyone knew exactly what Barbara Streisand's house looked like, because, she'd done the wrong thing. She'd given it publicity when she should have just let it die. So, and that's the kind of down punching effect. If you down punch too hard, people will notice, you know, you and go, oh, actually, I think what she's saying is pretty good, and I might follow this chick. Like, so, and that's been happening over and over and over again. So it's a very, they should not be doing this, and they probably know they should not be doing this, but what else are they going to do? Like,
it's like they can't help themselves. They're really just acting like an animal fighting for its life.
Yeah, and maybe that's true. Like, we're seeing the... you know, one of my little hopes has been that the effect of money on journalism will be reversed with the effect of reputation. Mm. You know, journalists used to, like, have a lot of pride in their reputation, and it wasn't about the money, but somewhere along the line that got flipped, and I really wanted that to flip back. And the democracy of social media and of platforms like Twitter means that it can be flipped back, you know? Like, if you tell a lie or whatever, people are going to know about it and they're going to rake you for it. So if you build your platform on social media like I have, like, you've got to your reputation is pretty much everything. Whereas if you're just getting a paycheck and you're getting paid, you know, pretty much to toe the company line or the advertiser's line or whatever your editor, you know, seems to think is a good story or not, then you're not so concerned about your actual reputation. And these people who, like, write for these places, or like our friend Anita McVeigh on the BBC, like, I mean, you know, you wouldn't even know that she was a real person. Like, right. She has no... I don't know if she's not a personality or anything, and her reputation doesn't seem to come into the equation. Like, so she's kind of like, right, this,
you're not
vessel.
Watching Anita McVeigh, you're watching the BBC.
Yeah.
And she's just there to follow orders.
Yeah, she's there to puppet whatever is put in front of her.
Just like that Heather, whatever her name is, Guardian writer who was...
Yeah, Guardian Heather, I don't know what...
Who was like, I wrote that because the government told me to, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And then suddenly they find themselves on Twitter having to answer these curly questions about what the hell are you doing? Like, your job is to actually bring truth to power. And that's what you got... Like, you're a journalist... I don't know if you read the description of that before you got into this gig, but you're actually meant to question the government when they give you, that's your job. And, you know, you're not meant to enter into some sort of information war and withhold information from the public because you might lose the information war with Russia or whatever. That's not your job. They never would have been asked those questions pre-Twitter. Even Facebook makes it difficult, like, to kind of get access to these people. But on Twitter, it's very democratic. You can just bowl up to anyone and talk to anyone.
Yeah, and I've noticed that, like, I don't pay attention to whatever journalist it is that left Twitter is bitching about. or whatever. They pick people that they hate, and they all dogpile like they do, and it's, like, this big thing.
Mm.
But I have noticed Greenwald talks about it a lot. He's always like, yeah, these New York Times journalists are always painting themselves as victims because everyone gets pissed off that they told a lie, and then they spend the next several weeks patting each other on the back and talking about what martyrs they are for Twitter users yelling at them for lying.
Right. So they it's like a mark of pride. That's annoying.
Yeah.
Just don't lie. You know, it's like it is true in life. Some people just really dig martyrdom. You know, they just really get off on victimhood. Hillary. So it's, you know, that's what they feed off. And if they can get other people in on that trip, you know, some people, like, I think they've never been really loved in their life, and they mistake sympathy for love, you know, so they just kind of parasite sympathy out of people all the time. It's always the victim. I'm always the victim. So, yeah, maybe they're just like that. Maybe the New York Times is full of people like that.
But back to your point about reputation being everything, that's the idea, though, of these smear pieces. Like, you, for example, have your entire livelihood is built upon your reputation. If people decided that you're a scumbag, you would have no profession anymore.
Right.
And the idea is that these smear pieces are deliberately targeted to damage reputation.
Right. Isn't that disgusting? So their reputations are, you know, are beyond reproach, and it doesn't matter to their paycheck what their reputations are. They can lie their asses off as long as they lie for the right people.
Right, because like Anita McVeigh, they're just they're just part of this amorphous blob of MSM.
Right.
It doesn't really. You can do pretty much anything from inside that because you're just a part of the collective.
Yeah, just the chattering,
the Borg
myth. Yeah. So they'll take someone on, like, poor old fucking Ian. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or what? He made like one tweet back in 2012 saying like one lie.
It was barely even a lie.
I'm not even sure you could call it a lie.
Instead of saying I supported for Ron Paul, he said I voted for Ron Paul. In 2012 he said this.
Yeah.
2012.
Right. And so, I mean, I don't know how many lies Sky News has told between 2012 and now. Like,
right.
So... But anyway, like, that's the sort of thing that they pick on a freaking Twitter user. Like,
he's just some guy, some retired English guy.
Yeah, who happens to, you know, enjoy, like, digging into politics. And so yeah, he's upheld to this ridiculous standard of, you know, purity. Oh, you know, how do you research every tweet and blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God.
Who do you think you are using Twitter?
As a citizen.
That's what they were basically asking. Yeah. What are your qualifications to use Twitter?
Yes, but I mean, how crazy is it that, like, you know, I get asked stuff like that all the time. Or, you know, like, you should be deplatformed. What do you mean? Facebook? Like, well, like, I should be deplatformed from, what, Medium? I actually have my own website now. But, like, I can't deplatform myself. That would be pretty harsh. You know, I am a self-reflective person, but I wouldn't sack myself, I don't think. I haven't done anything that has outraged me enough yet. You know, I've been, I can be harsh. I can be my own harshest critic, but I don't think I'd sack me. Anyway, yeah, but they go on and on about, like, you know, how Medium should throw me off. Like, Shane Bauer decided that Medium should hold their freaking blogging platform to a higher standard and not allow me on it. Well, I mean, and they have already thrown three people off. Like, and it's a blogging platform.
Right.
So, yeah.
People talk about their cats and video games and stuff on there.
Right, yeah. And I we've got just enough, far enough into the internet to become comfortable with the fact that we are entitled to have our own say and our own space on these social media platforms. And now they're trying to organize a hierarchy. Like, it's like, oh shit, we can't let everyone have an equal say, because, you know.
Then you get people saying, well, maybe America lies constantly about its war agendas, and the UK is part of that exact same thing, and they lie, and maybe Syria is bullshit, and the Skripal case is bullshit, and they're just lying to us to manufacture Cold War escalations and regime change in Syria.
Imagine being put on the Skripal case. Oh my God, what a disaster. That is such a farcical Monty Python-esque disaster. Imagine being told you have to cover that story with a straight face. Like, you're not allowed to giggle. You got to tell it like it's true, okay?
I know. I was saying that it was the door yesterday, but today, cereal. The poison was in the cereal. Oh, I mean, did I say I meant the car door handle. I mean the air vents. I mean the... Okay, so the laboratory is now saying that it wasn't actually from Russia and they don't actually know anything about anything. And I know we said that, but please pretend we did not.
Look at my hand. Look at my hand. Not this hand. This hand. The other hand. Look at my other hand. It's such a fucking farce, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that would be really, I mean, that's hard work. And I was just having, like, there was an Australian Fairfax journal on Twitter and just having a laugh about that, like, you know, about just how much work that must be to make that sound like a serious story that you need to cover over. Like, you know, and they ask so much of these people. They have to not just, like, cover these lies once or twice. It's like a relentless, everyday, you know, another angle on this, you know. Imagine being on the Russiagate story for a year and a half, 2 years, whatever it was. So long. Just Russia. What's the new angle in the Russiagate? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore.
One of the CNN people, it was Alison Camerota, the one that did the fake Bana Alibed interview.
Yeah.
She said that she was suffering from Russia fatigue. I can't. This sucks. Don't make me do this no more. Even her.
Yeah.
Barely a person. There's barely anyone in there.
Just a mere shell.
And she couldn't do it.
Yeah. I do feel for them. That would be so hard. It would be so hard. I mean, I've worked in, like, you know, I've written copy for businesses and stuff like that. That's pretty soul destroying. But actually just having to come up like day after day with a new angle to this bullshit story that you must know is bullshit. Like, or maybe you're gaslighting yourself into thinking it's real. I'm not sure. But like, oh, wow. That's just such a massive sap of creativity and your imagination, isn't it?
It must take years off the end of your life.
I reckon. Chipping bits of brain off your noggin, you know, like
right. No, it just wears down your humanity and kills your will to live.
And you know, then you've got to get up the next day and they say, today we're going after this indie journo.
Vanessa Beely, how many attack editorials have been written about her in the last few weeks?
I don't know.
I can't even count. Just her. Like, yeah. So many because they understand that she's one of the big voices out there who is on the ground, who spends a lot of time in Syria traveling around and just documenting what she's finding and sharing the information. And then, who was this fucking HuffPo editor?
Chris York.
Chris York has written a couple of things about her, and this last one he focused exclusively on her.
Mm.
And he wrote an entire article for Huffington Post where he called her, she's an investigative journalist per definition.
Right.
She's as investigative journalist as it gets. She's there, she's taking pictures, she's documenting, she's
everything is primary source. Everything
completely. It's a gold standard right there.
Yeah.
And his, what's the headline of his story? Something like how Russia gave rise to an obscure blogger or something like that.
Yeah.
He called her.
You just know that he would have sat trying to come up with the word obscure, like the perfect, like how can I diminish her with an obscure British blogger? Like, oh my God.
That was an obscure, what? Obscure British, she's walking around in Syria. She just is there. How many times has Chris York been to Syria?
Yeah, nil. Oh, you know.
How many times has he even left England?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like someone who gets around.
Right. Oh, not at all. No. This is a very comfortable man. I believe his whatever he sits upon would have a nice big bum dent in it, because I do not think he gets off his ass very often at all.
So you confronted him a few days ago when he went after a couple other of our friends. He went after, what was his name? Pearson and
Piers Robinson.
Tim Hayward.
Yeah.
Yeah, Piers Robinson and Tim Hayward. Yeah, and just two other Syria voices, not a big following. They're just academics, and he wrote this long screed against them.
That got on the front page.
Right, and you confronted him about it, and he was like, "Will you see all the next three pieces I'm writing?" He's just he's openly admitting that they have pre-planned all these attack editorials to run against anyone speaking truth about Syria. And this Bealey one was hilarious, though, because he first of all, from the headline on, he's like, just, oh, yeah, she's an obscure blogger. I can't say it without laughing. and really, he has no argument. Like, he doesn't actually go after anything she said. He says, she's skeptical of the 9/11 thing, which is like, oh, no, scary.
Oh, wow.
And then, like, some normal beliefs that she has and her findings about the white helmets. And he says, and he's like, we have no evidence that Bealey is being paid by the Russians. But that actually is more incriminating because because Russians like people who aren't being paid by them, so that because it gives them more validation, more legitimacy. Oh my God, dude, you're reaching so hard, your arm's gonna pop off.
I mean, how many drugs? What drugs do you have to do to come up with that shit, and then be able to sleep at night?
I
four pieces in total, he reckons.
I think prostitution would probably be less degrading and pay better. Yes. I don't.
You would feel better about yourself,
right? Like, just as a person. Come on, buddy. You know what you are deep inside. Might as well get real for yourself.
So yeah, it's pretty funny, and the problem for them now is that it's becoming the story. This is
right.
The story is that the mainstream media can't help itself, and it's like it's freaking out about every indie journalist that ever existed if they talk about Syria. And only if they talk about Syria. You know, you can talk about anything else you like, really. You can have the craziest conspiracy theories right now. But if you're skeptical about the mainstream narrative on Syria, that does sound very fucking Iraqish. I don't know. Like, it's not even like out. This is not bizarre weirdo world. It's 15 years ago we went through exactly the same fucking process as we're going through right now. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Weapons of mass destruction. Oh, you must be a Saddam apologist. They're doing exactly the same script. They've just swapped out a few words. And we're skeptical about it, but that you can't have that. You just cannot have that.
Yeah, and you can't make that look normal. You can't, even like just ordinary people who aren't really following Syria that much are going to start noticing at this point. They're going to say, wait, what, another one of these?
I just saw one of these.
Why are you guys flipping out over two professors?
To write about.
Like, I mean, yeah, like Iraq did just happen, and it's not a popular war still.
Yeah. That is the problem. Like, you know, it's there is generally skepticism about this.
Right. Yeah. It's already got the default leaning towards it. So these people are every day writing multiple attack editorials on anyone who asks questions, and they're doing it by going, ho, look at this weird, kooky, tinfoil hat-wearing person who doesn't believe we should regime change the Iraq's next-door neighbor.
What a lunatic.
He thinks that we might lie about it. What does he think? We would stage some sort of false, deceptive story and in order to, as a pretext for invading Iraq's next door neighbor? What a kooky, kooky, crazy lunatic. Mentally ill. Good luck.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, try it.
Everyday normal people are going, it hasn't rung true for me. I'm going to check out this journo and see what she's saying.
Right.
And, you know, you're just pointing people towards the light.
You would think British media would have learned this lesson with Corbyn.
Right. Exactly. That only just happened. You know, they did everything they could to stomp on his, you know, his little leathery worn out shoes, but they could not get,
and it backfired. All the Brits were like, well, wait a minute, why are you all doing that? That's creepy and weird.
Right.
What is it you don't want me to see?
And
actually this guy's got some pretty good policies.
Yeah. And you know, and everyone loves an underdog as well.
Right.
It's foolish. It's very bad, and I love it. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
Keep going. And I would love to be smeared. I'm available. Just saying. Just saying, I'm here.
CNN, Waffle, Guardian.
I've been putting on my makeup every morning, waiting for my Sky News to ring. Come on. Come on, people. Big me up.
I don't think they're that stupid, baby.
Oh, I want it.
No.
I've been rehearsing lines. I'm just going to, you know.
I think that's obvious about you, though. I think they know that about, they're like, oh, yeah, she would totally make a thing out of this, and it would become the story.
Come on, just do it. I might not. I might fail. I might.
No, they know you would love that, and you know that it would not. They know that it would not work out well. I would be very surprised if they went there. I would not be surprised if they thought about it. I'm sure they have. They crossed your name off the list probably pretty early on.
Oh, damn.
Would be my guess. But yeah, man. It's like it's all they have left. It's so weird, you know. PsyOps and propaganda has been researched as a science. It's been in research and development as a weapon of war for about a century.
Right.
And still the best they have is like, like a freshman trying to get a bra off, just like, pawing at it, like, come on, you guys should have this down to a sweet science of manipulation by now.
Isn't that funny? Actually, because I used to worry about that. I used to think, shit, these guys are like way, way beyond, you know, they've been doing this for so long and they've put so much research into it. As soon as I realized that, you know, that they had just put all their mental energy into creating a weapon of war out of psychology, I'd never thought to do that. Like, how would you do that? Like, that's one of those crazy things that, you know, a normal everyday person wouldn't come up with. And so when I finally grokked in that we were being manipulated on such an elite level, it was scary because I was like, shit, I'm probably being manipulated right now. Here they are, just like, they're out there.
Duh, the Novichok is in the cereal now. Duh.
And that's it.
That's all I got. That's totally fucking up. Duh, no, we need to bomb it before the OPCW gets there. Duh.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? You know when you watch 80s movies and they've got like the CGI or whatever, and at the time it was like, wow, that's crazy. That's so real. I could never, you know, and now you can basically see all the pixels and it's just like,
It's like you barely cropped the blue screen, guy.
Yeah, that's right. I can see a fuzzy edge. Like, yeah, nah. So, yeah, it reminds me of that. It's just like, oh, I can see the outline of this. Like, they're trying to scare. Did you see there was a video going around? This guy made a video of Obama, and he was pretending to be Obama. He put Obama's voice on, and then he used Photoshop and a few other things to kind of trick together this fake video of Obama saying.
It was one of those Key and Peele guys, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was a BuzzFeed article. Anyway, and the clickbaity headline, which totally grabbed me, was like Obama saying things that you would never hear, you know, would never expect and stuff. Then I read the article and it was all about how, like, videos can be faked. And so, like, you know, you can have people, like, saying things and you'll never know that it wasn't them saying it. Like, and I was like, oh, this is really bad. Imagine they can just, like, they could pretend to be anyone and say awful things. I watched the video. Oh, my God. Fake. They're fucking fake. Like, oh God. I mean, no, that's not gonna work.
Like, yeah. Yeah, you gotta, like, there's probably some social engineers in some back rooms in certain intelligence agencies, like, getting chewed out right now.
Right.
You said we would be here by this point. We're all the way back here. We were supposed to have paced them to a certain level and they're not buying it.
One thing I did notice, too, about this Moon of Alabama thing is they aren't as smart as we think they are, right? So Moon of Alabama showed what they were, you know, using to find these bots, and it was this, you know, this thing called a polygraph, and it was a website and stuff, and I guess it scraped the data and then it went through it and decided what was...
Oh, yeah, you know. Polygraph. They're tied to Voice of America, which is an actual propaganda, American propaganda outlet.
Funny, cause, and he made this mention too, like, polygraph to me means fake, like something, a fake lying, like it's a pretend thing. So I guess they were going for something that, you know, like a truth teller type truth serum thing, but it didn't really work. Anyway... My point was, I've gone off track, haven't I? I'm sorry. But my point was that he showed what they were looking at and what their conclusions were, and they can't even tell what a bot from a hashtag is.
Hmm.
They were so muddled in their thinking that they were ascribing hashtags and calling them Russian bots. And saying this Russian
hashtag is a bot?
Yeah, look at this.
That's weird.
Yes, because they fucking have no idea. This is a whole new world for them. These guys are old school. Like, you know, they're not.
So the internet, I think, just moves too quickly for people. They don't know how to deal with. If they don't know how to deal with Twitter, can you imagine trying to keep up with fucking 4chan or something?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
They're always going to be so many clicks behind.
Yeah. Now let me see. I'll show you. It was fascinating. This is a quote from the New York Times. You would think would know more about this stuff than they do, but clearly they didn't even get anyone to talk them through it. A snapshot on Friday night recorded a 2,000% increase in Russian troll activity overall. According to Tyler Q. Holton, a spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security, one known Russian bot, hashtag Serious Strikes, had a 4,443% increase in activity, while another, hashtag Damn Sucks, not even Damascus, saw a 2,800% jump, Mr. Holton said. So this is the guy, the Department from Homeland Security is talking about hashtags as if they're bots.
What?
I mean, like, one known Russian bot, hashtag Serious Strikes.
Wow.
So.
And Damscus?
Damscus, Damsucks, which the Moon of Alabama attributes to, like, there was a... It's a mistyping that was in an AP story that it was a thing.
Well, a lot of the times when it's something they don't want you talking about on Twitter, the recommended hashtag.
Oh, it's a little bit different.
I see people talking about that all the time.
Right, yeah. Right. So, yeah. But these guys are confused between what are hashtags and what are actual, like, users.
Wow. Oh, that damn Russian bot, Syria strikes. It's amazing. He just started tweeting right when we bombed Syria. He'd been, like, radio silence, and then all of a sudden, he just comes out of nowhere. He'd been hiding.
Well, that's the other point. Like, 2,000% increase. From what? What
it do you should mean? Be infinity, like, percent increase. Yeah,
like, shouldn't it? I guess, like, unless they had been talking about the last year's serious drugs.
Oh, maybe.
Recently,
maybe
I don't know.
That's what they were counting. I don't
see, but this is how bad they are at reading the actual data. So how shitty must they be at pretty much everything else? If they can't read, if that's so confusing to them, that the Department of Homeland Security guy is so confused, yeah. Then we are, like...
That's terrible. And, that Guardian article about Ian and Partisan Girl, that came from government sources as well, and they're not bots at all. And, you know, a bot is like an automated, it's an AI function, basically, that's just designed to tweet stuff. They're just regular people.
Right, yeah.
And that was completely stupid, too.
Right. Yeah, so I don't even know. They don't have the tools to fight this war with us. They don't know what the fuck's going on. Right. So they're stupider than we think.
That's good to know. That's really useful information. So we're all trying to share truth with each other. And they're trying to run interference on that with these Stone Age tools.
Yeah. And quite doofy, really.
That's handy. That's good. That's encouraging.
Yeah. I mean, I have been, like, taken aback sometimes with their the wonderful way that they can spin, like, pretty much anything. But lately, even that is failing them.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, and this latest frantic, ham-fisted campaign against alternative media is just really just lacking in skill.
Yeah.
It's really like they only have one tool left, so they're doing everything they got. They're giving it everything they got. It's like in one of those first-person shooter games where all your guns are completely out of ammo, so all you got is like a knife. You're just... You know you're about to die, but that's all you got.
That's always a fun thing.
Yeah, so that is encouraging. We should just keep pointing that at that, right?
Right. Keep pointing it out. Keep relentlessly talking about Syria and anything that you see that's weird about it. I mean, I don't think they'll do anything for a while now. That was just bad. That whole thing was bad.
You don't think so, but I've been thinking that for a few days.
No, I mean, like, in terms of moving forward militarily in Syria,
right.
You know, they've got to get rid of the bad propaganda first, which is us. So, so that'll be where they concentrate their efforts. And meanwhile, we can just keep hacking away and make sure that... Look, here's the beautiful thing about this too, is both censorship and propaganda only work when they're invisible. If you know that someone's being censored, then the Streisand effect comes into play and you want to know what they're talking about. So you need to keep them invisible. The most amazing thing about this for us is that whenever we point out propaganda or censorship in action, we're not only just defending ourselves and defending our spaces and Streisanding ourselves up, but we're also attacking the group that is doing it to us. We're bringing attention to the people who are doing this.
Because they're not meant to be doing that.
They're not meant to. It
would creep everyone out if they were, wait, why are you censoring people from talking? What don't you want us to see?
Yeah, exactly. So particularly, these journalists and these outlets and stuff like that who are spending so much time working up these smear pieces or whatever, it's really reflecting very badly on them. And it's like an own goal smear piece. They're smearing themselves as they try and smear other people. We should just keep pointing that out. So, it's defense, but it's also attack. So keep doing it.
Great. Shall we wrap?
Yep.
Caitlin is an entirely listener and reader-supported journalist, so if you want to support her daily podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon and PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Steemit, on Medium, or on CaitlinJohnston.com, where you can get on a mailing list and get an email notification whenever she publishes an article. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on, Bebo.
Thanks, y'all.
Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Katie, oh Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that's right. Keep talking, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady, they're lying straight to our face. Maybe, oh maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Keep fighting, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie, oh Katie, keep speaking truth to power. Our pretty Aussie flower. Love your girlfriend.